My fellow workers in the ministry. Loma Linda, California, April 20th, 1910. To my fellow workers in the ministry. Dear brethren, recently, as we were traveling from San Diego to Loma Linda, our train stopped at Orange, and Elder Parsons came into the car and told us about the meetings he had been holding nearby. He reported a good interest and said that about 30 had taken their stand for the truth. As I hear such reports, I rejoice, and I think of what great results might be accomplished if all our people, imbued with the true missionary spirit, would labor earnestly in the cities and towns, in the highways and byways, for perishing souls, many of whom have never heard the message of truth for this time. As a people who have received great light, we have fallen far short of performing our duty in communicating the knowledge of Bible truth to those about us. We are called to be chosen heralds of salvation. It is our sacred work to speak the words of eternal life to souls in darkness. We must bring into our work the humility of Christ. Of him we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Zechariah 9, verse 9. Among gospel workers there is to be no self-exaltation, but there must be revealed a continual trust in the power of Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. Work in the camp meetings. Shall we not, as gospel workers, seek for such preparation of heart that during the camp meetings soon to be held, every minister may be in living connection with God? The gospel that we present to save others must be the gospel whose saving power we have experienced in our own lives. In all our meetings, let those who teach and preach dwell decidedly upon the living realities of the Word. We must eat the Word, live the Word, practice the saving gospel message, for unless we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, daily receiving by grace his divine attributes, we can have no part with Christ. When all the workers have a living connection with God, our camp meetings will be more effective in winning souls to Christ. Angels will be present in our meetings and will make the divine impressions upon human hearts. Let those of you who labor in our camp meetings meet frequently in a tent or in some retired place and engage together in prayer and counsel. In such seasons of seeking the Lord with sincerity, he will come sacredly near, enabling the laborers to stand unitedly, shoulder to shoulder, in the work of God. When this is accomplished, there will be harmony of action. There will be a unity and an earnestness that will ensure the rich blessing of God upon the meetings. A holy influence will pervade the encampment. I have been repeatedly instructed that among the laborers in our camp meetings, there should be perfect unity. If differences appear, they will be noticed by others and may prove to be stumbling blocks. In the early days of this message, our ministers felt it to be a solemn duty, when assembled at a general meeting, to meet together and seek for the unity of the Holy Spirit. Groups of two or three or more would go away together into the grove or into some tent, and after praying together, would come into the meeting, the glory of God revealed in their very countenance. When they spoke to the congregation, they spoke with the meekness and grace of Christ. Their words reached the people, for the Lord had heard their prayers and had prepared the hearts of the hearers to receive the message. There is, with truly converted hearts, a unity and grace that will be recognized. The powers of heaven stand ready to enlighten you in the work of earnest heart-searching. As you pray together and urge your needs with fervor, confessing your sins, you will receive the evidence of God's favor. In answer to the petitions of the ministers and other laborers, the Spirit of God will flow forth to the hearts of the people in fervent, melting zeal. The powers of heaven are mighty, and they will prepare souls for the reception of truth. In the camp meetings, time should be set apart daily for prayer in the family tents. While the members of our churches are spiritually asleep and are self-satisfied, our camp meetings cannot exert the full influence that God desires. There must first be a work of repenting of sin and of heartfelt confession. The Lord will work with all who will humble themselves and exalt Jesus Christ. It is not wise merely to follow one discourse with another. Let the program be varied. Often, when a subject has been presented, it is well to have a social meeting, giving the people an opportunity to express themselves before hurrying their minds onto another subject. Satan is working in every conceivable manner to divert minds from the truth of God that would sanctify the soul. No one is free from the danger of becoming ensnared by the sophistry of the enemy. Our only safety is to hide self in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. We must rely wholly upon God. He is to be our efficiency. Unless the hearts of the people are reached by the heavenly powers, they cannot receive the grace of Christ. We would urge that there be less of argumentative sermonizing and more of Jesus Christ revealed in the discourses. The power of a discourse is not increased by loud ejaculations. Let there be a realizing sense that the Lord must impart of His heavenly grace. We are constantly to work in harmony with the messengers of heaven, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Our wisdom is to be received from God through prayer. It is our privilege first to talk to God in the secret place of prayer, then in the fervor of the Spirit to give His message to the people as men who have learned lessons from God. With this preparation, our speech will be acceptable. The atmosphere surrounding us will be holy, for we shall be in cooperation with holy angels. When the melting power of God has subdued our hearts, we shall have power to draw with Christ. Oh, how much we have lost by not being converted daily! Many are careless and irreverent. They seem to have but little sense of the reality of the truth. Some who have received decided warnings seem to have no realizing sense of their peril. There are men to whom the Lord Jesus has entrusted responsibilities as leaders. Let them hide self in Christ, that they may know what it means to bear responsibilities in the work of soul saving. A sense of their own unworthiness will lead them to humble, fervent prayer and earnest seeking of the Lord in humility. Awake, awake to your danger, all who have been striving for the highest place. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will certainly be found on the wrong side. You need to die to self, to consecrate daily soul, body, and spirit, to be led and disciplined, and to walk humbly with God. When you are thoroughly aroused, you will seek the Lord with all the heart, that you may find Him. Your heart will be bound up in the love of Christ. Self will sink into its proper place, and Jesus will be all in all to the soul. There is hope when all will feel their need of overcoming the spirit of murmuring, complaining, and fault-finding. Some who have manifested this spirit have felt themselves capable of directing others, but they need first to learn to govern themselves. They need to experience the meekness and lowliness of Christ, who gave His life that they might be saved. Those who are truly converted, who have an abiding Christ within, will be surrounded by a pure, holy atmosphere. Such witnesses are needed at this perilous time. Fellow laborers, we must arouse from our death-like stupor. We must be converted to God daily. We must feel our great need of the Holy Spirit if we are to realize success in presenting Christ as our Savior. We must pray earnestly. Satan is taking the world captive, and he will, if possible, deceive the very elect. A lifting up of the soul unto vanity, a feeling of security, a seeming belief of once in grace, always in grace, is the result of a dangerous deception. Unless we humble ourselves daily, we shall be humbled. Satanic agencies are adroitly working to insinuate into our minds his seemingly sublime theories. He knows how to flatter in the most pleasing manner, for he himself was once an exalted, heavenly being. But he worshipped his own ideas and plans. He was expelled from the heavenly courts because of his wicked ambition. He had refused to be corrected and could no more claim the mercy and love of God. Justice decreed that he be expelled from heaven. This is a lesson for all who would lay claim to infallibility. Our only safety is to realize the necessity of receiving the Holy Spirit, without whose influence we are powerless. Heavenly intelligences stand ready to unite with human agencies. Pray earnestly that you may present the truth in such language that your hearers may know that the grace of God is working through you. There are many who will respond to the words of Christ spoken through the human messenger.